toward that which is antithetical to the human ideal. So the curiosity for me is that how long will it take for humanity to get to that point to where, one, everybody's speaking the same language, two, everybody's living according to the same ideal, and three, that God and universe within the context of a point of reference becomes what a person is actualizing and demonstrating. So it'll be really interesting to see what ends so that humanity can simply get along, be kind, live that which is conducive, and then go from there. The same context can be thought of as what will it take for people to understand what the mind, the body, the spirit, the soul are as they correspond to will of light and consciousness as they exist according to God, Yahweh, it, and universe, making the self infinite, eternal, complete, total, as is according to that. And so it becomes an opportunity. If nothing else, the opportunity is to see who we are, where we're going, what makes us feel good, what floats our boat, and all that kind of good stuff. And in one context, everything is all well, fine, and good exactly as it is. In another, we have to be careful of false doctrine that has the potential for leading us astray, and that. It is interesting when you look at the fact that no two people are the same, and yet you have, in the case of Hinduism, approximately 1.2 billion people practicing the same systems theory. Same thing with Buddhism, same thing with Christianity. The exception with Christianity is you have over 2 billion Christians on the planet. Within the context of Islam, you have over a billion people who practice. You take Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam, and you have approximately 4.5 billion people that are practicing the faith. And that's really interesting because no two people are the same. So the idea of two people living according to the same ideology is the ultimate slash. It's the great oxymoron, because it's not about two people practicing and living exactly the same way. It's whether or not a given individual is going to understand what's real and true within the context of their life as it pertains to the existence of that they personify, and it's going to differ from person to person to person to person to person. It's not about everybody being the same and living the same. It's whether or not we can allow a divergence and difference to exist within the context of the process, so that who we are is basically what we're involved with. The interesting thing to me about people and what I share is people don't understand it, they don't want to hear it, or they could care less about it. I have one person that I communicate with, and we talk for about 2 hours once or twice a week, and she likes what I have to say. Invariably, what happens is with almost everyone else, it's like they can't get away from the realness and the truth of what it is to be a human being fast enough. And what that means is that if an individual is unwilling to learn, teach, be, know, do, become, actualize, demonstrate, develop, and share human beingness, the death experience is what waits. The process is birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation, or sin, sickness, disease, death. That's what waits every single person on the surface of this planet who is unwilling to live according to the design. And we were created and brought to life by an entity called Yahweh and an entity called Id about 75,000 years ago. The one thing I like about this show, welcome to my point of view, is I get to say it as I see it, and I see it as clearly as it gets. I see it humanly, I should say. And, you know, one of the cool things is that it doesn't, in one context, it doesn't matter. Everything is all well, fine, and good. The simple fact is there's only oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. There's only God, life, the Christ, serving others according to oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. The entire process can be thought of as oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness, which is the fifth chakra pertaining to truth. Then there's unity, union, unification, which is the sixth chakra. And then there's connected integration, which is the seventh chakra, and then there's reintegration back into that which gave rise to the entire creation. That's how I understand the process pretty much across the board. So the trick is what does it take for us to come to a point of view that works within the context of our life and the life of everyone else. Now, everybody on the planet is entitled to his or her life, to live it exactly as they choose to. However, if an individual wants to resolve the death experience, if an individual wants to resolve time and space, if an individual wants to resolve hostility, conflict, negativity, and so on, it behooves the individual to apply themselves to a very straightforward process. And the straightforward process is in a body of knowledge called the raw material. And what I'm going to do for those who listen to my show, listen to the sound of my voice, I'm going to read a couple of things that will save a person lifetimes by applying it. The first thing I'm going to read is on page 153 of volume 1 of The Raw Material. And it's a very simple, the question is, can you give me some kind of history of your social memory complex and how you became aware of the Law of One? Raw, I am raw. The path of our learning is graven in the present moment. There is no history as we understand your concept. Picture, if you will, a circle of being. We know the Alpha and Omega as infinite intelligence. The circle never ceases. It is present. The densities we have traversed at various points in the circle correspond to the characteristics of cycles. First, the cycle of awareness. Second, the cycle of growth. Third, the cycle of self-awareness. Fourth, the cycle of love or understanding. Fifth, the cycle of light or wisdom. Sixth, the cycle of light, love, light, or unity. Seventh, the gateway cycle. Eighth, the octave which moves into a mystery we do not plumb. However, I understand that eighth, what they're referring to as the eighth, is reintegration back into that which gave rise to the entire creation, which is simply reintegrating back into God. That was page 153. Now, on page 87 of volume 1 of The Raw Material is this little tidbit. This is the question. The last time we communicated, we were seeking of the learning of healing. It is my impression from what you gave to us in the earlier session that it is necessary to first purify the self by certain disciplines and exercises. Then, in order to heal a patient, it is necessary by example and possibly certain exercises to create a mental configuration in the patient that allows him to heal himself. Am I correct? Raw, I am raw. Although your learned understanding distortion is essentially correct, your choice of vibratory sound complex is not entirely as accurate as this language allows. It is not by example that the healer does the working. The working exists in and of itself. The healer is only a catalyst, much as this instrument has the catalysis necessary to provide the channel for our words, yet by example or exercise of any kind can take no thought for this working. The healing working is congruent in that it is a form of channeling some distortion of the intelligent infinity. We have decided to accept, if offered the honor duty of learned teaching the healing process. I would ask as to the first step which we should accomplish in becoming effective healers. Raw. We shall begin with the first of the three teaching learnings. We begin with the mental learned teaching necessary for contact with intelligent infinity. The prerequisite of mental work is the ability to retain silence of self as a steady state when required by the self. The mind must be open like a door. The key is silence. And the silence is accomplished through meditation. It's entering into a meditation and literally asking, seeking, asking, and knocking to find, receive, and open the mind like a door. Within the door lies a hierarchy construction. You may liken it to geography and in some ways geometry, for the hierarchy is quite regular, varying interrelationships. To begin to master the concept of mental disciplines, it is necessary to examine the self. The polarity of your dimension must be eternalized. When you find patience within your mind, you must consciously find the corresponding inverse. Each thought a being has in its turn an antithesis. The disciplines of the mind involve, first of all, identifying both those things of which you approve and those things of which you disapprove within yourself, and then balancing each and every positive and negative charge with its equal. The mind contains all things. Therefore, you must discover this completeness within yourself. The second mental discipline is acceptance of the completeness within your consciousness. It is not for a being of polarity in the physical consciousness to pick and choose among attributes, thus building the roles that cause blockages and confusions in the already distorted mind complex. Each acceptance smooths part of the many distortions that the faculty you call judgment engenders. The third discipline of the mind is a repetition of the first, but with the gaze outward toward the fellow entities that it meets. In each entity there exists completeness. Thus, the ability to understand each balance is necessary. When you view patience, you are responsible for mirroring in your mental understandings patience, impatience. When you view impatience, it is necessary for your mental configuration of understanding to be impatience, patience. We use this as a simple example. Most configurations of the mind have many facets, and understanding of either self-polarities or what you call other self-polarities can and must be understood as subtle work. The next step is the acceptance of the other self-polarities, which mirrors the second step. These are the first four steps of learning mental disciplines. The fifth step involves observing the geographical and geometrical relationships and ratios of the mind, the other mind, the mass mind, and the infinite mind. The second area of learned teaching is the steady understanding of the body complexes. It is necessary to know your body well. This is a matter of using the mind to examine how the feelings, the biases, what you would call the emotions, affect various portions of the body complex. It shall be necessary to both understand and understand the bodily polarity and to accept them. Repeating in a chemical physical manifestation the work you have done upon the mind, bethinking the consciousness. The body is a creature of the mind's creation. It has its biases. The biological bias must be first completely understood, and then the opposite bias allowed to find full expression in under stresses of acceptance of the body as a balanced as well as polarized individual may then be accomplished. It is then the task to extend this understanding to the bodies of the other selves whom you will meet. The simplest example of this is the understanding that each biological male is female and each biological female is male. This is a simple example. However, in almost every case wherein you are attempting the understanding of the body of self or other self, you will again find that the most subtle discernment is necessary in order to fully grasp the polarity complexes involved. The third area is the spiritual complex, which embodies the fields of force and consciousness, which are the least distorted of your mind-body-spirit complex. The exploration and balancing of the spirit complex is indeed the longest and most subtle part of your learned teaching. We have considered the mind as a tree. The mind controls the body. With the mind single-pointed, balanced, and aware, the body comfortable, and whatever biases and distortions make it appropriately balanced for that instrument, the instrument is then ready to proceed with the greater work. That is the work of wind and fire. The spiritual body energy field is a pathway or channel. When body and mind are receptive and open, then the spirit can become a functioning shuttle or communicator from the entity's individual energy upwards and from the streamings of the creative fire and winds downwards. When body and mind are receptive and open, then the spirit can become a functioning shuttle or communicator from the entity's individual energy wheel upwards and from the streamings of the created fire and wind downwards. The healing ability, like all other, what this instrument would call paranormal abilities, is affected by the opening of a pathway or shuttle into intelligent infinity. There are many upon your plane who have a random hole or gateway in their spirit energy field, sometimes created by the ingestion of chemicals such as what this instrument would call LSD, who are able to randomly and without control to tap into energy sources. They may or may not be entities who wish to serve. The purpose of carefully and consciously opening this channel is to serve in a more dependable way, in a more commonplace or usual way, as seen by the distortion complex of the healer. To others, there may appear to be miracles. To the one who has carefully opened the door to intelligent infinity. This is ordinary. This is commonplace. This is as it should be. The life experience becomes somewhat transformed. The great work goes on. What I just read you is what Jesus did to perform the miracles. The work that we do is simply become conscious of who we are. And there are six things that we develop that are the basis for ascension: intuition, psychic ability, and channeling, and then consciously manifesting with a conscious mind, healing, teaching, these are what is saying, which constitutes the individual being a way-shower, deliverer, healing, servant. In order to do that on a conscious level, what I just read you is the work that has to be done. Now, I originally read that in 1984. I have reread and read that several times, and now what I do is I literally read that every day, because I am going to basically open the heart and liven the body for the act of knowing the self, serving others, collective ascension, according to my path as Christ's enlightenment, and God speaks. And so the hope is that there will come a point in time in the context of our life in which we simply learn what it is to be human and apply ourselves in the context, because according to Hatan, which is the harvester of souls, only those who are negatively polarized and positively polarized are harvested. From what I understand, out of 7 billion people, there's approximately 1.5 to 2 million people that are harvestable right now, which means that there is going to come a point in time in which there is going to be a mass exodus. It can't be thought of as a great extinction of those human beings that are not polarized or harvestable. And it's called the separating of the wheat from the chaff. And it's approximately right now about 2 million people. That's the number that's been given to me. And that number was given to me approximately 15 years ago. One of the nice things is that what I work on, and I read the raw material every day, and I read lesson 273 of the workbook for students. The lesson in A Course in Miracles is the stillness of the peace of God is mine, and how I've changed that from the stillness of the peace of God is mine. What I say is the stillness of the joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony of God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, id, will, consciousness, love, light, is masculine, feminine, male and female, the feel, sense, think, and vision, sense, ego, body, imaging, the likeness of God, universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, id, living according to faith, trust, patient living, according to faith, trust, patience, desire, intention, karma, and in my case, meditation, written and read book, vision boards, our mind to feel, sense, think, and vision, to speak, to write, to actualize, demonstrate, communicate, contribute, to inner earth, surface of the planet, secondary planet, as and according to knowing the self, serving others, collective ascension, opening the heart, enlivening the body, fully activating the brain, path is purpose, enlightenment, God speaks, intuition, psychic ability, channeling, manifesting with a conscious mind, healing, teaching, ascending, as way, shore, deliver, healing, servant, as truth, beauty, goodness, stillness, peace, harmony, the self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating, instantaneous, spontaneous, simultaneous. That's how I have changed it into my own intention. And so when I get finished, and then there's two different paragraphs to read after that is stated. And then what I do is I gratefully appreciate the fact, experience, fulfillment of this. I gratefully appreciate the actualized demonstration. I gratefully appreciate the reality, truth as my experience, expression. I gratefully appreciate the assistance given. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It is done, it is done, it is done. So it is, so it is, so it is. Now it is, now it is, now it is. Now here being, knowing, sharing, ascending. Now here being, knowing, sharing, ascending. Now here being, knowing, sharing, ascending. And when I finish that, then I tone. I hit a tone. I hit a bowl, a Tibetan singing bowl. And then I sing an om. And I do that 3 times. I hit the bowl, and then I om. I hit the bowl, and then I om. I hit the bowl, and then I om. That's my daily practice. I do that every day. And how my day begins is I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I meditate for an hour and 40 minutes. Well, it's an hour and 30 minutes now. And I meditate specifically within the context of meditation, And so I have a delineation of exactly what I want my life to be a representation of, and I have no detail left unattended. I literally have a paragraph that is the theory of everything. The unified field theory that I have come up with is simply human being is the unified field theory, because we literally are a unification of everything that exists, from God to universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, it, which are the creator and the father, that which brought us to life, and so on. And so it becomes an interesting thing, and it becomes a daunting thing, and it becomes a challenging thing, and it becomes an interesting thing, and it becomes an involved thing, and it's kind of have fun. Part of the work that we do within the context of our life is resolve issues acting as catalysts, which are pretty much anything negative. It includes fear, guilt, arrogance, denial, lack, need, want, wound, ignorance, indifference, intolerance. Then there's developing talents, which can be whatever. In my case, my talents are playing music. My talent is understanding. I have the gift of clarity of insight, probably more so than anyone else. And I play music. I also have studied the martial arts. And I have a nice little lifestyle where I live that's involved with the things that I am and the things that I like. Anyway, the opportunity always is that we come to that point of reference of who we are. Hopefully that's not too egoic-based, because what happens is the ego eventually ceases to exist, and it takes the body with it, because the ego is the face of the body. A part of the work that we do, which is the new dispensation, is developing a life that is spiritual, and it's going to differ from person to person. If two people are practicing the same thing, they are misguided from that point of practice. It is not about two people practicing the same thing. It's about people living their life according to their spirituality, or as it corresponds to the mind of God, the soul of the universe, love as the physical, as an ideal, which we image, and spirituality, which is light. And so the hope is that people get to that point to where they have simply owned what their truth is, and then they're sharing that without too much ego, without too much anything else. So the good news is that life goes on. And there is going to come a point in time within the context of the process in which the opportunity is given to everybody on the planet to get with the program. The interesting thing is that I read a source that said we were given 3,000 years to change world greed and class distinction into that which is harmonious and conducive. And we have absolutely refused. We absolutely insist that things have to be other than contrary, foreign to the nature of the design as it is. And there is an intelligent design to who we are. I actually like the fact that within the context of Christianity, they came up with the idea of intelligent design, because the only thing you have is intelligence. You have design. It's like it. But anyway, life goes on. Anyway, this is a welcome to my point of view, and thank you for listening.